I went to a very noisy cafe in Barnstaple and spoke to Dave and Sadie Green. Dave is one of my favourite photographers. The best way to see his work and see what he does is to go to his website, greengallery.co.uk. Sadie, on the other hand, has been involved in arts funding for years, and she was a key member of Devon Arts Culture. Together, they run experiencedevon.com, which is an arts-based holiday company.
I mean, most people would just pick up a normal camera and take a picture, and then they think, oh, here's a digital camera, I'll just take a picture. But they're not thinking about photography, they're just...
It's about snaps.
Snapping.
Yeah.
You taught yourself the technology, didn't you, to then... I mean, Dave's very good at figuring out you're not good at figuring out what it can do. What you do is try it, see if it works. So it's not, I mean, I think I don't know if it's a female-male thing, but I would want to know what the limitations were in a programme.
Before you started,
you know, like, this is what you can do, yeah. Dave will just play and see what's possible.
I kind of go with the idea that there aren't any limitations.
Yeah.
I always assume that it ought to be possible to do something.
Yeah.
And if it isn't possible, then I figure a way of making it possible.
Yeah. So to make the software actually do more than it should do.
Well, yeah, or certainly make the software do things that nobody else has done, or things that it wasn't really designed for, but you kind of figure out, well, yes, it could do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So your programs now make tea. Yeah.
Oh, well, we did get a coffee maker yesterday that you can program to make coffee for a certain time.
Perfect.
Almost, but it wasn't the computer.
So what you've been up to?
Well, mainly helping Dave get Experience Devon off the ground and looking for freelance arts project work, because that's sort of my background really, well, for the last 9 years or so. That's what I've been doing, and that's where I've sort of got to in terms of employed work or contracted work. But I'm not doing anything at the moment, but I'm just sort of putting out feelers to see if anyone needs that. And then it's just, it's really getting Experience Devon off the ground. It's very much a joint thing, and we can share the roles.
Because I always see you two as a team. You always seem to do things as a team as opposed to individually.
We are very much a team. I think we couldn't have got started with Experience Devon if we weren't a team, because it's hard to set up your own business anyway, and it's hard to do it with another person and then to actually make it work. And we don't always agree on everything, but we have to have discussions and ideas between us. I think we probably complement each other quite well.
So is it a relief to get advance funding for a bit?
Yes, actually. it is a relief to get out of arts funding, but occasionally I do miss it. So, I mean, when I go to events and things with creative people around, I kind of think, oh, look, there's artists. I remember working with them, and I quite like it.
Yeah.
Sometimes one of the things about working for yourself is that very often it's too easy to just be in the house all the time. I mean, we make ourselves do meetings and go and talk to people. You can get a bit more quite sort of inward looking quite quickly.
Well, yeah, I always find just displacement activities, I'll go and clean the loo or something, that's what I do.
Yeah, just something.
Sad life, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we
haven't had time to clean ours yet.
Oh, good.
We find reasons to go out and pop into town and bump, because Biddeford's good for bumping into people, and it's good to have conversations about things. But we're trying to do something alongside Experience Devon. We've got sort of project ideas that we're trying to come to fruition,
which we need to get funding for.
Which we do need to get arts funding.
But because because we're living a little bit kind of hand to mouth at the moment, you have to kind of think, well, what can I do which is going to bring the most money in the short term, and concentrate on those. And actually, if we could afford to, we'd be kind of thinking more in the long term.
Because it takes time to plan projects properly, then put in for the funding, then get the funding, then start the project.
So it's quite an ambitious project, isn't it, to actually do to get sort of art and tourism linked, isn't it? I mean, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
I think you're right, actually, and I think it's perhaps tougher and perhaps more unusual or unique or whatever than we even think ourselves, because we're having we seem to get almost unexpectedly very good comments from people, you know, like from local councils and you know, from, you know, people involved in tourism and
it's good. We've got very positive feedback.
Lots of very good support from those kind of people. And then you kind of realise that, hey, yeah, we are doing something which other people aren't doing.
Yeah, there's almost an element of surprise for people like district, Tories District Council councillors. You know, we've been emailing locally just to let them know what we're doing, really, because I think it's important to have that relationship with the town and the, you know, the, where we are, let people know. And also it's useful because they might be able to help in different
ways.
Well,
the system always makes the system work, doesn't it? Yeah. That's the right thing to say.
We're not surprised because we think it's a great idea, and we have to because it's,
well, I think it's a good
our
idea.
Business. You know,
it's a good idea.
We thought, this isn't really good, is it? Then why would we be doing it? But,
it is a good idea.
But it's really nice to get that feedback. You know, it's like it gives you the confidence that, you know, you're doing the right thing. I think it'll just take a longer time to actually get going than we anticipated. But it's good because we're spending time. At the moment, looking new links all the time with different local businesses and cafes and cycle hire places and accommodation providers. Yeah.
And we've got a bit of a kind of real life experience of it just at the moment because we've put in the paper in the journal. We put a little bit of editorial together asking for people, you know, if people were interested in doing like a day's planned itinerary based on arts, culture and natural environment, you know, locally, that they could do for free. I mean, they have to pay for anything that needed paying, but
sure.
We would do the itinerary bit, the planning bit for free, just to try it out. And we are having some people coming back to us for that. So, you know, suddenly we're having to think for real, they've done this they've done our questionnaire.
They're waiting for a response.
Yeah.
What
do we do? Oh my goodness! Where can we send them for?
And it is quite different. Yeah. You know, suddenly
the responsibility. Yeah.
And when we've built up all this knowledge, and you know, we have all this, kind of database of all these things and everything. But suddenly, when it's for real, it's like, oh no, what can we do with this?
It's weird.
Can
you feel like you don't know anything suddenly?
Yeah.
It's
is scary. Yeah.
But it's good because we knew we needed that experience, so we've made ourselves have to face up to it. And it's good to do that in a it's still important to get it right, but it's fairly sort of safe way of doing it. It's only one day and it's not a week or 3 days or whatever. And we wanted to get some feedback as well from somebody from the customer point of view. You know, what's it like filling in these forms? And, you know, are we communicating with you properly? Do you feel like we're putting together a good day for you because you just picked it out of a magazine or something? It's another challenge, but it's good because if we can get through a couple of examples with real customers but shorter term ones.
So what's it like living together as being sort of like two creative people? What's it like? Does it get mad or is it quite easy?
It's not bad actually.
I'm the one who, if anyone gets mad, it's me, but it's for a short time.
Oh, that surprises me.
Yeah, and then I'm all right again. But it's just my character.
It always come across as very calm.
Yeah.
We work in different rooms.
Right.
Rather being the same.
Work in different ways. Right.
Well, we do. I mean, I tend to have music on.
Right.
I can't work with music on. Dave does work with music on.
So I mean, there's that.
Yeah.
But I mean, to be honest, we don't kind of think, oh, I got to get out and, you know, get away from you for an hour and just pop in town, because we tend to just go out together then.
As
a break.
Yeah, I don't storm off or anything like that. I just have my moments where it's just a way of working through something, and like blah, 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 and then it's gone again. So, but Dave's a very calming influence, isn't he? But we do work in different ways, and I think we're good. You're saying about the teamwork thing. I mean, we do complement each other and we do different things. I mean, I'm actually probably more of a wordsmith, and historically anyway, well, Dave writes very well as well, and I like research, so I like finding out about things and administration as well. I try to keep everything organised on the laptop, so hopefully we can find things. But I've got all my folders and subfolders, haven't I? And you don't know where everything is.
What's a subfolder?
So, exactly. So it's all kind of, everything's neatly compartmented. I've set up databases for different business. I mean, so I've done a lot of that.
Can I move in?
Yeah, you can.
I need to be organised.
When we say databases, it's Excel spreadsheet, but it is a database. I'm not so good on some of the software that
I tend to be able to get up and start work earlier because, I mean, working at home for ourselves, I mean, it's so easy to start slipping into getting up late, stuff like that.
Yeah, you still have to be disciplined.
I feel well, any time somebody, you know, can be ringing up, and I feel that, you know, we need to be available, let's say, between
business hours.
I don't mean we need to be at home all the time, because of course we need to go out, and that's, you know, that's acceptable, I think, as well. But, you know, if somebody was to ring up at 9 o'clock and we were still in bed, you know, that would just be really bad.
Yeah.
Now, you know, so I don't have a problem getting up as long as, you know, I know that I've got that into my head, and I set the alarm 7:30, and I'm usually working by 8:30. Because I'll check email and stuff and start doing that kind of thing. Sadie's a little bit later, but then again, Sadie can be working later in the evening when I want to be stopped.
Yeah, that's the thing as well. I'm actually better working later in the day, but Dave isn't, so we're having to do a compromise.
She does shift work.
So, yeah. See, I could work through the evening. Yeah. When I was working at Beeford doing the Devon Arts Culture Project, I didn't get there till 9:30, but very often I didn't leave till 6:30, 7:30. So it, you know, it's like a shift forward in a couple of hours. Most people might start at 8 or 9.
Yeah.
But having said that, we will often be working till 7:30, 8 in the evening.
Yeah, we have been lately.
But we won't be working from 8 o'clock till then.
No.
Because, I mean, the beauty, of course, of working for yourself and working at home is that if the sun's shining, you can go out for a hike for a couple of hours. Or
you have to grab it while it's there in this country. Because, I mean, if summer came and it was just hot and sunny every day, it wouldn't be so bad. But here, it's like, oh my goodness, the sun's out.
It's a sunny day.
Let's go now. And we enjoy going hiking, but we need to do it anyway because it's part of what we need to know about for our business. So,
yeah.
And it's good to see places at different times of the year, different times of the day, you know, different tide heights and all that kind of stuff.
So you also both been to the States a lot, haven't you? You've been to the States recently, last year, wasn't it?
We were there this time last year. Yeah.
So what did you get up to there? What was going on there?
It was primarily a 2-month trip. I'd done 3 years of Devon Arts Culture Project, which was a fantastic experience and unfortunately came to an end. And I got some redundancy money at the end, and Dave wasn't working further for an employer and just setting up as a photographer. So we thought, well, let's go somewhere for a couple of months, because
it was a little bit easier for us to just go there because we used to live in Arizona in Tucson.
Yeah.
Because I was doing a teaching exchange there in 2003-2004, so we got to know an awful lot of people in Tucson, lots and lots of people on the art scene in Tucson, because I was over there teaching and Sadie was over there with absolutely nothing to do except
get to know the place, get to know the people.
So you volunteered for about four
different arts organisations. It was a really interesting year, actually, because I learnt a lot about how they do things over there, and it was good to get, and I worked for a film festival, and I worked for a couple of community arts organisations and a youth arts organisation. So
I mean, we have emails from friends in Tucson saying, you know, can you let everyone you know that we have a room for rent or something like this, because you know more people in Tucson than we do.
They like it when we go over because we get everyone together and make things happen. Yeah.
It was perfect. So because of that, we let everybody know we were going, and we were asking if anybody knew of anywhere we could rent. And in the end, we were able to rent a friend's house for, what was it, $500 a month?
Whole house.
Because he was moving in with his girlfriend, and this was like a 3-bedroom house with everything included, including broadband.
And that was important because the main reason
cable
we were, main reason we were going out was to write our business plan for Experience Devon and do some market research. So we were going to have to do it somewhere.
Yeah.
So we thought, well, let's go to Tucson where we, you know, we know
which is nowhere near North Devon.
No. It's warmer, another friend,
another friend who builds bicycles.
Yeah.
He was able to get us a couple of bikes that he wasn't using that we could we could just use while we're there because we couldn't afford to hire a car for 2 months.
Sadie on a bicycle.
So yeah. Exciting. So we did a lot of cycling.
I think I've seen the pictures.
Yeah, Dave's always cycled, but I actually got quite into it. Because it's very good for cycling in Tucson. You get cycle lanes and it's quite safe. And then we found a really good route into, we were about eight miles from downtown. And we found this really good route after a little while. And going through the university, and it's very, very easy.
So you're talking about sort of like the arts sort of scene in Tucson.
Yeah.
How different was that to your experience with Devon arts culture?
One of the biggest differences in America is that you don't get the public funding.
Mm.
Right.
There's a little bit of public funding, but nothing like what we've had in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of the Arts Council giving money out to various things over in America. It's mainly business that funds
and sponsors, individuals. Yeah. So that was the main difference. But it's interesting that question because I was actually thinking the arts scene, apart from the funding and the way the arts are funded, that public-private thing, the arts scene in Tucson actually is very similar to the arts scene here.
Right.
Much more different to where we were living at the time, which is Northampton.
Yep.
Where it was completely different there. It was more about attitudes of people and how they approached their own art form and how they approached the sector and being a creative person amongst other people. And in Tucson, as in here, down here in North Devon, it was more sort of sharing, supportive community.
Rather than being competitive.
Rather
that's
being
right.
Competitive, I mean, individuals going, oh, no,
exactly
I'm not going to
talk
about this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the Americans are usually not what you expect. I mean, you kind of think of this big kind of corporate, capitalistic, huge, evil, sinful place. But actually, we're probably far worse in this country.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's actually quite interesting. You're talking about sort of, was it Northampton?
Yeah.
I'm a Midlander as well, and I feel that the arts scene, if you like, in Devon is far better than it is in the Midlands.
Yeah,
it's much more rewarding. It's more inclusive, and it's not elitist.
No. Because I was doing a couple of years before we actually went to Tucson for the year. I've been working for the local authority for the arts team for Northamptonshire County Council, and I had two roles. But one of my roles was visual arts officer for the county. And that's what I came across constantly, and it was the same within the officer level as well, because I was county officer for visual arts, and then there were also art form officers, other art form officers, and then there were district arts officers that were multi art form, cross art form, and we used to meet together and have meetings, and they were just a nightmare. They were not supportive at all, and quite divisive, and people feeling that they couldn't say anything because it would annoy somebody or offend, and we weren't working cohesively as a team to do something for Northamptonshire at all, and the art were the same. It was really interesting.
Strange lot. But I mean, you know, it is interesting. Well, it's quite sad the demise of Devon arts culture, because I mean I thought that was actually working.
Yeah.
In a very slow, organic sort of way. It was actually getting things done. And it just suddenly disappeared.
It took a while to take off as things do, and then it started gathering momentum, and then we all sort of knew it was going to stop, but hoped it wouldn't, but it did feel in the end like it just stopped. And it's fascinating because we went off to Tucson mid-January to mid-March and came back, and then I kept, we were around and bumping into people, and everyone was saying, well, what's happening to Devon arts culture?
Yeah.
And everyone was obviously really missing it, and it's one of those tragedies, I suppose, of funded projects, and it's a shame that it has to come to an end. But thank you for saying that it was working. But I agree with you.
But I guess the thing is that to have so much, because Devon arts culture was this
so
kind of huge
money,
supportive thing with money. But even if it didn't have the money, it was very supportive and kind of proactive. But to go from that then to have like nothing really. I mean, obviously we have North Devon Arts, but in like that kind of official, local council level.
Yeah, there's no arts officers.
We haven't had an arts officer in this area for 4 years, 5 years.
So they just somebody just finished them when I got to Devon, which was January of 2005.
Yeah.
So I mean, Devon Arts College was the equivalent of having an arts officer.
Yeah.
You know, but almost more than that. Somebody committed full time to kind of progress in the arts, and then it just completely stopped.
See, it's interesting because and useful for me to talk about that and think about it because I hadn't been living in Devon before. I was we were in Northampton and moved down especially for the job.
Yeah.
In some ways it was a good thing that I didn't know what had gone on before, actually I was coming into in terms of what the creative sector was getting up to, what they weren't able to do before, what had been tried and tested, and so I just sort of came in quite openly and sort of I learnt about the politicking of it as I went along. But a lot of people said that Devon Arts College just came straight in and did so much, and it wasn't there.
The irony of it for me was that all the things that they put out in the press and in their websites and stuff was saying sustainability.
Yeah.
Sustainability,
and it didn't happen.
And it didn't have any sustainability itself, which was a real shame.
Yeah.
It's a shame it's gone.
I mean, I think that there could have been elements of Devon Arts culture that, as Dave was just saying, really, that could have carried on. You don't always need money for things. I mean, things like the networking. I mean, I think artists were. What was exciting is that artists were really finally beginning to get to know each other a bit.
Yeah.
And collaborations were starting to happen.
Yeah.
And people were starting to feel like they knew other people in the creative sector, and they were becoming friends or they were becoming colleagues or something. They have a relationship with it, an artistic relationship.
Yeah. I mean, the thing.
In the way, and there's that kind of stuff that's just gone.
The thing that excited me about Devon Arts School was the fact they used to pay me.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Just to turn up, they used to pay me.
It was great.
Which is great. Yeah. They did, yeah. Sorry. Whoops. No.
Yeah.
No, it was a nice approach to actually sort of enable sort of artists to do stuff.
Yeah.
And by sponsoring.
The artist,
of course it does. It brings value to everything, doesn't
because
it? It brings value to the exhibitions, value to the artists, and value to the society, to the organisation.
I mean, there is that attitude often that. That artists should do things for free all the time.
Yeah,
that's right.
Which
is why we're poor.
Does devalue what's done because they're not recognised as a sort of professional, if you like. I mean, that's how you look at it. And I think if you are paid for something, you think, blimey, someone's recognising my value, and actually boosts your self-esteem, confidence, gives you the experience as well. And then it gives you the confidence to actually do something else next or try something new. So, it's really important. But I was lucky to actually have the physical cash to pay people to perform exhibit or whatever. Because the way it was funded, we had actually cash to spend. I mean, we might have had the money behind the scenes, but only put money into setting up events, but not paying people. So it was good to have some money to spend. And it was weird because it was a huge budget, and the county council arts team jobs. I mean, my little arts budget for the whole of the county was £1,000 for the year.
Blimey!
So I had to be quite creative with that, and not really do a lot in terms of spending money. So I couldn't pay people. It was very odd to get used to. I had an administrator. I mean, in the arts. In Devon Arts Culture, I had an administrator, and that's really unusual because when you run an arts project, you do everything. You do all the admin, and you watch the budget and the figures, and you make the creative ideas and make decisions. So I had an administrator who would help, and I had money to spend, and it was really, it took me about 6 months to get used to the fact that I had money and to actually spend it because I was used to having to be so careful and creative about spending and not overspending because I wasn't used to having a big pot of money to slosh around in.
So do you think it'll come back, something like that? Do you think it'll happen again?
I don't know. I mean, I think probably because of the project everything shifted forward in a great way, and there's probably different needs now. So I think I would like to see it come back, but it would need a big sort of collective decision-making process, because it was four organisations that were working together on this. And I think it because it's the whole county as well, it would require quite a lot of joined-up thinking, which doesn't always happen in the arts. So,
and like Devon's a massive, it's a massive area, isn't it? Really.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, even if we have the equivalent of West Devon, who have an arts officer, I think she's perhaps not full time, but they also have small grants for artists through that position. So again, I don't know how much money, but I mean, at least there's something there in place that artists could tap into and get support from.
I mean, I'm thinking about it a bit more. I'm not sure that it will happen again, because it's almost like there's a danger that it's been done, and I think actually a piece of work would probably have to be done to see what the needs are now for creative industries, but before it's too late, because it could easily slip back to where.
Well, I think it has slipped. It's already slipped back. I think
it's probably slipping anyway.
I mean, it's interesting that sort of the actual sort of government sort of policy on Devon is sort of arts and tourism.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that the emphasis towards sort of generation of wealth is arts and tourism, which is quite a bizarre combination, really. I mean, tourism, perhaps, you can understand sort of people down to Devon, but how do you sustain an arts industry within Devon? I mean, I just can't see it happening.
Yeah. I mean, a really good piece of research was done during the life of Devon Arts Culture. Trying to think of the name of it, but it was basically looking at the creative sector and, you know, where it got to, how many people were working in different art forms, and, you know, how much money was being made or not made by different businesses, and then what was needed next, you know, where the gaps were, and that's quite a vital piece of research, and that kind of information needs acting on and doing something about, because it's just not pointless doing it otherwise, because it's good to have the information, but it's just frustrating, I guess.
I thought it was actually, you know, totally pointless that Devon Arts College just stopped, because, you know, as it had done all that with that research,
right.
And it had laid down the foundations for a sustainable economy, and then it just went
completely,
which is totally insane.
Yeah,
but
I agree with you. It was very sad, but I mean, looking back now, it was good that the project as it was finished, I think, but there needed to be something to follow it on, because I think it did what it said it was going to do within that time frame, and it was always going to be a 3-year project.
Yeah.
That was the problem, you know, or the glory of it or whatever. But it's the part two, really, you know, Devon Arts Culture part two is still very, very much needed. But I think it did what it said on the tin, you know, within its time frame, and perhaps something, you know, we've done so much, and then perhaps something else needed to happen next. Maybe in consultation with all the businesses that we were supporting, and saying, okay, we've done this for 3 years, now what?
Yeah, but as you say, Peter, I mean, what it didn't do is this sustainability thing. I mean, you know, it's
quite right.
Yes, it kind of uses that word and it puts things in place. And
you use that word in every paragraph.
It helps artists at the time, but, you know, to suddenly cut off, it's like suddenly cutting the umbilical cord, isn't it?
Yeah.
Too early.
The infrastructure wasn't in place.
There needed to be that, you know, perhaps that kind of gradual, you know.
Needs to be weaned.
Yes,
as opposed to.
I was just thinking there, maybe we should have stopped 6 months before the end of the project to do some weaning.
And wound down.
And a bit of maybe consultation about, well, you know,
what
have you gained from it, what's needed next.
Because, I mean, you know, it did feel that at the time that all the projects were snowballing, everything was getting better, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All the events and stuff were getting better, all the shows were getting better.
Right. Because it's an evolving thing, isn't it? You learn about. From my point of view, I'm learning more about who was actually out there, who I could help and support and work with, and you know, make things work really well, because you get to know individuals and their work, and then you. I mean, I was sort of, in the end, I was tailoring things to certain people in mind, thinking, I know, I could do this, and that would be really brilliant for these guys here, because, you know, we got to know each other.
So was that a proud sort of project? Were you proud to be in that project?
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Yeah. it was. I think it was really successful. I mean, it had its faults, but as I said earlier, which I didn't.